Travels with Sarah. In the campground in Grand Marais, I rely heavily on the kindness of strangers. My neighbour across the way put up my rattan blinds with the help of another neighbour who also lives in a gated community in Texas, to which I've been invited, and the help of a few Miller beers. They blithely drilled into the outside of the scamp, inserted screws, made lots of comments about screwing, but put up the blinds. I slept for the first time without having to tie scarves over the windows. This morning, the anniversary of September 11, I had to listen to a discussion among my neighbours about how much the Muslims hate us. I tried to remonstrate, to talk about my lovely Somali students, but to no avail. I am a lone voice in the wilderness. So I changed the subject. Then another neighbour sets to and spruces up the scamp's bumper with black anti-rust paint and helps me change my propane. Another week, and I swear I'd have my rig washed and waxed. There are advantages to being a single woman RVer, even if I do have to put up with some sexist jokes. I'm anxious about tomorrow. We are leaving for the great Canadian beyond. All shall be well, no doubt. Waking up in Canada is like waking up anywhere, except we are scamping and it is cold and I don't have to get out of bed. I plug in my electric kettle, select a precious digestive biscuit and Marks and Spencer's tea bag, and listen to Sarah snoring, wrapped in her down comforter at my feet. Last night I was glad of her warmth. I read somewhere that some cultures rate the cold in terms of how many dogs one needs at night to keep warm. I tuck my feet under her warm body and wish I had two more dogs. We're in a campground outside Nipigon, Ontario, just off the highway, pathetically close to Thunder Bay, but yesterday it was raining and I was tired from the day and pulled into this deserted campground which looked as though Miss Havisham had been the last visitor. But I thought, if I can plug in the scamp and the electricity works and I can have a cup of tea, we are staying. So I did. And it did. And we did. When the rain cleared and the sun emerged, I found a cabin with a note. Leave payment, back soon. Later he came and knocked on my door. We spoke a little French together and he gave me the internet code, so I hope I can communicate with friends back in Minneapolis. A few feet away, Stillwater Creek rushes through the pines and Boletus fungi. I've decided not to cook any, just to be sure. I remember what happened when I got my lawyer's wigs mixed up with the anabuse caps and drank some wine. I was as sick as the proverbial dog. I've made it thus far without mishap, so why push my luck? I had a lot of luck yesterday. At the Canadian border post, which reminded me of crossing the Iron Curtain back in 1970, cold, hard faces, funny accents and guns, I discovered that I'd been so focused on finding Sarah's rabies certificate and my British passport that I had neglected to bring my green card, proving residence in the USA. They took my papers and keys and ran a criminal background check and told me that it would be very difficult to get back into the US. I said hopefully, well, it's just over there. Could I just turn round and go back? But they claimed I had attempted entry, and I was committed to it. And two of them went off and searched Scampi and the big blue one. I loitered with Sarah on a patch of grass and thought of my checkered past and suddenly remembered the little bit of weed that the caveman had given me a few months ago that was in my possession somewhere and wondered if they'd let me have Sarah in prison. "Ma'am, come over here," one of the officers called. She had something in her hand. I picked Sarah up and buried my guilty face in her fur and walked across the concrete. Free, as I thought, for the last time. The officer had a wallet in her hand, into which I had once tucked postage stamps, my British National Health card, and at the back, a photocopy of my alien registration card. "You're okay with this," she said. "It's all the proof we need." I wanted to hug her. I wanted to come right back to the Twin Cities with me and dig around for my birth certificate, which still hasn't shown up, since she was so good at finding things. But instead we set off. The Canadian trip was ahead of us, and we were free.